We're reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 8 to 20, the learning from the shepherds. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When the greatest event in history took place, God becoming man to dwell among us, you'd expect it to take place in the presence of important people. Recently, there was the swearing in of the new president of Zimbabwe in Harare, and that brought together dignitaries from all over the world. But that's not what happened here. This was very discreet. We see very discreet. Poor parents caring for a new baby in a barn. The first visitors weren't important people, but smelly shepherds who just come straight from work to see this baby that they'd heard about from a group of angels. These people were nobodies. They had no refined social skills. They couldn't bring expensive gifts. They were on the bottom rung of Jewish society, together with tax collectors and dung sweepers. There was someone who came to preach here last month, Rupert Bentley Taylor, and he pointed out that when Jesus accomplished his first miracle, the first sign, as it's called in the scriptures, showing his glory, it was in a small out-of-the-way village. And these two things, the fact of his birth being witnessed almost by nobodies, and the first sign that he did being carried out in a small out-of-the-way village, serve as important reminders that the story of Christmas isn't for the world's elite. Jesus was born for everyday people like you and me. Now, we could ask an awful lot of questions about these shepherds, but now is not the time. They were probably tending their sheep, the sheep that would later be used for the temple sacrifices. Their job was to guard them from human and animal predators. They would have taken turns to watch during the night, and it was sometime during that period that the angels appeared. The first lesson we need to learn is that they heard the proclamation. We don't know what time of night it was, whether some of them were already asleep, whether they were sitting around a campfire telling stories. They don't appear to have said anything to the angels. They were probably too scared. The angels do say to them, "Don't be afraid." So obviously they were. We can imagine their mouths wide open, not knowing whether to run or scream. And I'm pretty certain that they were afraid of dying and facing their day of reckoning. There are many people today, skeptics, who smile derisively at this story because they don't believe that God speaks. Certainly not by angels, and in any case, he doesn't speak anymore anyway. The thing is that they're wrong. God does continue to speak. The problem for many of us is that we don't hear him. We're looking in the wrong place. We're looking at the bright lights, wondering if somewhere out there isn't something. God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. And if we take the time to read it and meditate upon it, we will discover that it is a love letter from God to us, which will help us in our everyday experience as we read it again and again. He speaks to us through the different experiences that we go through in life. Sometimes we learn a lot about God from the things that happen to us. Sometimes they're designed to wake us up, perhaps to give us a fright, like these shepherds were given a fright. But then there comes a word of encouragement, a word of direction to show us what we ought to be doing. God speaks to us through his Spirit. He might use the teachings of a speaker in a church or somewhere else. It could be a writer, it could be a singer. He may whisper gently in your mind a word from the Bible, and it will keep on going over and over in your mind. You just can't get away from it because he's speaking to you through his Spirit. But as I said, far too often, we're spiritually deaf. We don't hear because we don't listen. We don't hear because we're preoccupied. We're distracted. We're so busy with life, rushing around all over the place. In a sense, many people are on the run because they don't want this voice to speak to them. So they blot it out by all sorts of different things. We have obligations, of course. We have commitments, of course. And sometimes we say that we'd like to rest, but we can't. Someone has tragically observed that our generation worships work, works at play, and plays at worship. It's a sad thing, but it's true. Of course, many of our commitments are important. Much of what we do is necessary. Making time to listen to God sounds good, but it's easier said than done. So, how do we find time to listen? Can I suggest that the main way to do it is to build margins into our lives. Plan to find time to listen to God. As I said here from this pulpit a couple of weeks ago for those who were here, it's a question of our focus. Could we not set the alarm just a quarter of an hour earlier so that we have time to read God's word and to pray? Could we not prefer reading the Bible to reading the newspaper or watching the evening news? Couldn't we mark Sunday morning as one of those important appointments that we have in our overcharged calendar? We have important appointments during the week at work and with this and with that. We plan to meet this person and that person. Couldn't we make Sunday morning a time when we plan to meet with God? We have mobile phones, smartphones. We just can't get away from them. I sometimes jokingly say that the young people of today look like aliens with wires coming down from their ears because they're on them all the time. Couldn't we just for once turn them off, look at our emails a little bit less often to make time for other more important things? And then there's the TV. That box, well, it's not a box anymore. It's a flat screen, either a great big one on the wall or a smaller one, but even so, it's quite some size in the corner. And very often we complain that there's nothing on. Okay, so why do we watch it? Why not turn it off, especially when there are all sorts of repeats in the lead up to Christmas? Turn it off and read a good book. There are some fantastic Christian books out there. There's one written by Phil Yancey, The Jesus I Never Knew. Very, very interesting, very thought-provoking. Knowing God by Jim Packer. Desiring God by John Piper. And I could go on. You don't have to listen to every single program or watch every single program on the telly after all, do you? And then perhaps at the end of the day, spend time with the rest of the family talking about what you've seen and what you've done and what you've learned during the day. We find time for recreation, for shopping, for the things we want to do. We must make time for God. But then another point. These shepherds, they acted on what they heard. When the angels left, I suspect that they were all stunned. And I can imagine them asking each other, "Did you see what I just saw?" But they soon came to a decision. In verses 15 and 16, they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They acted on what they heard. They went to see. They went to investigate. We might think that we'd do the same if angels spoke to us. But would we? Wouldn't we look over our shoulders to see if anybody else was watching what we're doing? Wouldn't there be something in us to tell us not to make a fool of ourselves because others will be criticizing what we do if we go to church, if we read God's word, if we speak about the Bible? There are all sorts of pressures crowding in on us that can make us ashamed to do what we should do. These shepherds could have tried to work out whether they could afford to leave their flock. After all, they were responsible for these sheep. They were there to keep them safe. So wandering off or going off into Bethlehem and leaving the flocks on the hillside could be very dangerous. Their employer could be extremely upset with them. They could even risk their lives. But they went. They went. And I'm afraid that all too often we talk ourselves out of acting. When God speaks, it's important that we take the appropriate action. The message of Christmas calls upon us to act. For some, that may mean giving our lives to Him. He's not looking for our admiration. He's not calling for our approval. He wants us to give our heart and our life to Him. He wants it so much that He came down to this earth to reach us. As we've been singing, He went to the cross to set us free from the sin that dogs us. Bring us into His family. He rose from the dead to show us that He was telling the truth, and to give us a glimpse of what lies ahead for anyone who follows Him. Are we one of those people who actually acts on what we hear? That's why this today, Christmas Day, is an important time, a perfect time to act. Listen to the Christmas message. Listen to the story. If God did indeed become man to reach out to us, He must love us more than we can even begin to understand. If God did all that to reach out to you and me, He can be trusted to guide us faithfully. So do something bold this Christmas. Follow the example of the shepherds. Dare to act on what God tells you to do. Finally, these shepherds rejoiced in this proclamation. They responded to the message, and when they did, they discovered a wonder that changed their lives. It was a wonder that was so great that they couldn't but help tell everybody about it. As I said at the beginning, they were uneducated, they were smelly, and yet here they were stopping strangers in the street to tell them about this baby that they'd seen. Maybe many or most of the people that they met thought they were crazy, but they weren't. They were changed. They'd been transformed. We read in verse 20 that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that from that moment on they didn't have any problems anymore. I'm sure that there were still days when they hated their jobs, when they had to battle that prejudice of being on the lowest rung of Jewish society. They must have still had disagreements and squabbles amongst themselves. They still had to work the night shift and may have struggled in their marriages because of it. Many of their outward circumstances didn't change at all, but what did change was their hearts. Their hearts were transformed. They found a joy that the world cannot give and cannot deny. They found a wholeness that they couldn't achieve through counseling. They found a peace that no bank account could produce. And they found a love that no human could ever give them. They found the Lord, and you can too. So why not make this a Christmas to remember? Not because of a gift that you've given or received, but because this was a Christmas when you went to Bethlehem and met the King. For many people, Christmas is just a time to party. And then it'll all be over. They'll put away all the tinsel and the tree and the lights and everything else. And their focus will turn to changing the calendar to start a new year and another party. They'll forget about Christmas until the madness begins again next year. These shepherds, they never forgot. Their lives were changed forever by what took place in Bethlehem. And I hope yours will too. I hope you'll look past the change of date on the calendar and begin looking forward to knowing God better. Look forward to following Him more faithfully. Looking forward to the day when you will stand with others and celebrate in His presence and praise Him forever. Happy Christmas.